Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've all been in a particular situation. There's a person before us, and they have something in their teeth. And we are wondering, debating with ourselves, whether we are going to say something about that thing that's in their teeth. If it's not something in their teeth, it's something in their hair, their beard, or maybe their fly is undone, or there's something that is just awkward, and we are debating, am I going to speak up, and am I going to say something, or am I just going to hope the problem goes away? If you haven't been there, well, I'd be very surprised. We have that moment of crisis. Now, for some of us, it's not a big deal. We say, psh, you got something in your teeth. Hey, examine your zipper, etc. But that's not the case for everybody. For some people, it can be difficult because it's an awkward situation and we don't want to wrestle with it. Or maybe we think, well, it's not really my business. Maybe it'll take care of itself. But are we going to speak up or not? Now, if only life presented us with only just awkward situations like that. However, there are situations among our friends, our family, our coworkers, others, people that we have a connection with, a relationship with, where there are more serious matters at stake. Where you have a child who is erring, who is going in a dangerous direction that is going to lead to their destruction. Where you have an individual who is contemplating having an abortion. Or you have a couple who is living together and not concerned in the least that this is an issue. There are people that are dealing with jealousy or pride or other situations that goes unaddressed, and those things can lead to serious consequences, both temporal and eternal. But in those moments, are we willing to speak up? I think there are times when we say, well, it's not really my business, is it? I mean, is it really my place to say? We fall into the trap of our modern age that truth is somehow relative, that your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. And well, who am I to judge? And so we don't say anything. And meanwhile, a person is going on a path to destruction. Maybe one of the biggest reasons why we don't speak up is out of fear. Because we're concerned about what they will say to us. Will they respond in anger? Will they get upset with us? Or maybe they'll think we're just some overly pious individual who needs to mind their own business. In any case, we have moments where we have a choice to make. When there's a serious matter, are we going to speak up or not? In our reading for today from Ezekiel, we have a man who is called by God to speak up. He's given a serious charge. Our friend Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33, our Old Testament lesson for today starts out. So you, son of man, this is God speaking. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. That is some serious stuff. A little context here before we delve back into the text. Our friend Ezekiel was one of the prophets called by God to proclaim the word to the people of Israel. He was a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was prophesying in Jerusalem not long before the destruction of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was warning the people to repent and warning of the destruction of Jerusalem. Meanwhile, as the people had been taken into the Babylonian captivity, there were two waves of Babylonian captivity. The first, we have our friend Daniel and his friends, and they're taken off into captivity. The second time that happens, Ezekiel is also taken away into captivity. Probably a man of about 25 years of age or so, a young man. Now, while Ezekiel is there in the land of Babylon, he is also warning the people to turn away, to repent, and he's also speaking of the upcoming destruction of Jerusalem. And he has that solemn task to warn God's people. What were God's people doing? Well, one of the main problems was the people of Israel were idolatrous. They were going after other gods. They were worshiping other gods. They were forsaking the Creator God, God of the heavens and the earth, Yahweh, and they were going after other gods, some which they made with their own hands. How stupid. But nonetheless, they were idolatrous. Other sins included violence, deceit, injustice, slander, sexual promiscuity, and worse yet, the people were blaming God for their captivity. On top of all the sins that the people were doing, they were blaming God for their captivity. This was the mess into which Ezekiel was sent to proclaim the word of God. And notice how our text describes Ezekiel as a watchman. That's a very interesting analogy, which is described earlier in the chapter, the watchman. And what was the watchman? A watchman was an individual who was appointed to guard the city walls, walking back and forth along the city with trumpet in hand. And if the watchman saw that there was any kind of danger, the watchman was to call out, sound out, so that the people could be warned, so that the people could be saved from disaster. But if the watchman didn't do his job, he was to be accountable. I think about World War II, the start of that. 1941, an infamous day in our history, December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. A man by the name of Lieutenant Kermit A. Tyler was an Army Air Force lieutenant serving as a temporary officer at the Fort Shafter Radar Info Center. The lieutenant noticed a blip on the radar. He noticed activity on the radar. It was a large blip, and it was moving quickly. However, he mistook the blip on the radar for the U.S. bombers, the U.S. B-17 bombers that were supposed to come in, and he figured that there wasn't any problem. So he said these infamous words, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." Well, as we know, that blip on the radar was 180 Japanese aircraft that came in and caused major damage in Pearl Harbor. A number of the ships were destroyed, and the loss of lives was a total of 2,403. 2,403 lives lost at Pearl Harbor. And we only can speculate what might have happened if Kermit Tyler had spoken up and warned that there was an attack coming on Pearl Harbor. Potentially many lives could have been saved. Now, in Kermit's case, he didn't know better. But nonetheless, he may have regretted that decision. Don't worry about it, those infamous words. Ezekiel was appointed by God as a watchman for the people of Israel. If he were not to speak up, then he would be called to account. But if he were to speak up and the people were not repenting, then he had done his job and the people were accountable. Ezekiel, though, was speaking the words of the Lord out of love. That's an important thing to remember. It was out of love that the people were being warned. Ezekiel chapter 33, "And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" You see the care and compassion. It's out of love and compassion that the Lord warns. It's out of love and compassion that he calls his people back to himself, even though they wouldn't listen. And he wants them to take individual responsibility for their actions. If you look at the rest of that section in our Old Testament, you can summarize it in this way. He speaks to those that were at one time righteous, but now doing wicked things. And he says, don't think that you can rely upon your former righteousness. Don't think you can look back on that, those righteous things and count on those for you to be saved. But he also gives hope for the wicked. He's pointing out that if the wicked turn from their ways, they will, in fact, be saved. But nonetheless, it's a sobering message and not easy to hear and probably not easy for Ezekiel to give, but he did so out of love. In this day and age, God continues to send his word to you and to me. And sometimes it comes with a warning, which isn't easy to hear or easy to give. God still calls individuals, including pastors to proclaim God's word. As you hear God's word in your devotions, you're also going to hear that word, and sometimes it's difficult to swallow. It's something that you might not want to hear, and the temptation would be to stop reading the word because it's convicting you, and you don't want to deal with that thing that you have denied, that problem, that situation that you don't want to wrestle with. Nobody likes to hear that they are living in sin and in need of repentance. Yet the scriptures say some difficult words, such as in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. If there is a situation in your life that you have not dealt with or addressed, now is the time to deal with it. If there is an addiction that is in denial, now is the time to deal with it. If there is a temper that you make excuses about, saying, well, I'm German, I'm Irish, so I just have a temper, it's time to deal with that and stop making excuses for it. If there's a situation that involves gluttony or pride or slander or any other thing that you know that you're dealing with, now is the time to deal with it. And to stop messing around, stop making excuses for it, stop trying to justify it, and repent. And that is to be said for me as well. And yet, in God's love, he desires for us to return. He desires us to live, to have life. And when we're dealing with these struggles that we fail to deal with, we are living in bondage. He wants us to have the freedom of living according to his word. There's a wonderful section from a book called The Hammer of God that I'd like to share with you. And this old pastor is dealing with the situation in the village where these men have been fighting with one another. And this one man has been horribly cantankerous and he's been cursing his neighbor. And this old pastor comes and he speaks with this man. And I want to share that section with you. The old pastor sat half reclining on the sofa. Listen, Johann, he said, should a Christian man act as you did a while ago? Johann was silent. Do you think you used language that one baptized in the name of Christ should use? Continued the rector. Johann kept silent. Tell me, Johann, do you think it was pleasant that I happened to come here and heard the kind of language you used? No, said the farmer glumly. Of course, it doesn't mean a thing that your old confirmation pastor had to listen to it, But what do you think God thought of it when he heard it? The old pastor reached out his right hand. Do you see this old hand? Should it have to testify against you on the day of resurrection? Johann had a questioning look. You see, Johann, the rector continued as he touched the thumb and index finger of his trembling hand together, these two fingers can also bear testimony. They have held the holy body of Christ and offered it to you, and you have received it with your lips. Today, with these same lips, you have called upon the powers of darkness and cursed your neighbor. Do you think a Christian man ought to do that? Yes or no? No, Pastor. I knew it, Johann. You think just as I do then. His hand was still stretched forth. I do not intend to withdraw this hand until it is able to bear witness for you and not against you. That's an example of the truth spoken in love, but out of love, and that's the key. The Lord desires for you to turn and to repent. Our friend Augustine says these words, "There is no surer test of the spiritual person than his treatment of another's sin." Note how he takes care to deliver the sinner rather than triumph over him, to help him rather than punish him, and so far as like in his capacity, to support him. Getting back to our friend Ezekiel. Yes, our friend Ezekiel had some difficult words for the people of Israel, but later on in the book, we see words of hope, words that there will be restoration, words of the vision of the valley of dry bones, that even though it looks hopeless, that there will be life, that there will be a new land to look forward to. And one of the amazing passages in the book of Ezekiel is Ezekiel chapter 36. Listen to these amazing words. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanlinesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." We see the fulfillment of that in Christ Jesus, the one who went to the cross bearing all your ugly sins, all those secret sins, all of those things. He bore those for you, taking the punishment upon himself and giving you in exchange life. And just as Ezekiel speaks about being sprinkled with water, it makes me think of our baptism, as we are baptized into the precious name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, meaning that we have a new heart, that the Holy Spirit is within you, giving us the desire to turn and a desire to serve the Lord with all our might and soul and strength. And I thank the Lord for that. No sin, whether how big or small, no matter how big or small the sin, it is wiped clean in the blood of Christ. That goes for the Apostle Paul, who calls himself the chief of sinners. It goes for Ted Bundy. Remember Ted Bundy, a serial killer who repented in prison, who came to know Christ, and we will get to see Ted Bundy in heaven? Imagine that. No sin, whether big or small, all of those sins, they are all wiped clean in the blood of Christ. So as we are made new in Christ, we are also given the strength to speak up. Going back to the beginning of our message, speaking up in those difficult situations. As we remember the amazing love shown to us, we want to show that love to others. And one way to show love to others is to speak the truth. As 1 Corinthians 13 says, love, speaking about love, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. If you see somebody who's in a burning building, you see their house on fire and they're asleep, you're going to want to go warn them that their house is on fire so that they can escape. You do so out of love because you care about them. As I talked about in the children's message, When the stove is hot, you, out of love, warn your child that there's a situation. And whether your child is small or big, there's still an opportunity to warn them out of love and then point them to Jesus. Matthew 18:15 says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector." There's a process for addressing sins. And even in treating someone like a tax collector or a Gentile, remember that Jesus still had compassion upon Gentiles and tax collectors. We still ask the Lord to call that person back in repentance. James chapter 5:19 says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." May God give us boldness to speak up out of love. And may we always remember the amazing, bold love of our Lord, who has spoken up for us, given his life, and gives us new life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.